Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Welcome everyone to Dragon Quest FM, where we talk about and obsess over Dragon Quest. I'm Austin.
And I'm BJ.
And this week we're doing a little Dragon Quest catch-up. Now with 100% less mustard.
See what you did there.
I do that joke every time in the hopes that one day someone will laugh at it.
I laugh at it every time.
Okay, well, for our own amusement.
That's why you're my soulmate.
Yeah. Anyway, so this week we just decided, you know, we were out last week, so it seemed like a good time to just catch up and talk about some of the games we've been playing and also Dragon Quest news. We got that the Dragon Quest Die game, not the mobile game that we got way back when, but like the actual console game, Infinity Strash, is coming out later this fall, 2023. Yeah. And it is going to be a global release, and it is an action game, and it has pretty cel-shaded graphics.
It does. It's really pretty, and at this point, I'm really thinking I'll probably get it on the PS5, because I've been really impressed with the performance of other games like this, and there are trophies.
Yeah, I'm kind of on the fence about it. I think I'm going to end up probably reviewing this one for work. And I think I'm probably going to go with Switch, just because, especially when it's something timely like a review, Switch is always just easier because it's handheld, because I don't have to share the TV with other people.
Exactly.
I have to share the TV with other people, but I don't have to share my Switch, so it just makes it easier to play. And so I think I'm going to end up going with Switch on this one.
Yeah, I can totally understand that. If it's going to be a review, especially, I know you've had a hard time getting some reviews out on the PS5 because of just having to be like, okay, guys, I have to do this right now for work and take the TV.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it, but it, like I've said in other episodes when we've talked about Die, it's like I didn't enjoy the mobile game at all. I've read part of the manga, and then I've read part of the manga that got like officially translated here very recently. And I watched the first chunk of the anime, but it was always kind of like a chore to make myself sit through it and get through it, where it's just like, I don't, for whatever reason, Die has just never clicked with me. And as much as I love Dragon Quest, I've tried to make myself like Die, I can't get into it. And so it's like, I'm going to play this. I love Dragon Quest. I'm excited for it, but at the same time, like, just personally, I would have rather had the DQ3 remake this year.
Yeah, I get it.
And I mean, I know we talked about this in a previous episode, but I really do feel like this whole Die game has just killed our chances of getting 3 remake this year.
Yeah, I think so.
And I really,
but this one has been in development longer, so the other one, because it's a remake, maybe it won't. Maybe we'll get surprised and it'll be a December release.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I just feel like now we're going to have to wait till like next year to get the DQ3 remake, just because like I really thought that this like fall 2023 just seemed like perfect for the 3 remake, just going along with like what Square Enix's like release schedule is for the year. And I don't know. I think the problem there too is just that like if it is released in December and Die is fall 2023, I just feel like it's not going to give those games time to shine or breathe, and you're going to end up in a similar situation to what happened this past year, 2022, where you had like, what was it? Like Valkyrie Elysium and then Star Ocean 6 and then what was that? Deofield Chronicles or whatever. And then it was like Dragon Quest Treasures and Crisis Core Reunion released like 4 days apart.
Yeah.
And it was just like, all of those Square Enix games just got smushed really quickly. And then Forspoken in January, it was just like everything was so crowded that if it were me, I would not release 3 remake in December, because I mean, it's just, I think it's going to be too much of a glut. People aren't going to know what to buy or what to spend time with. And it doesn't give, especially with Dragon Quest, it's not going to give word of mouth, like time for word of mouth to really spread, because I feel like with DQ11, I mean, it was a fantastic game, but Dragon Quest 11, I feel like really took off over here, at least in part because of how much it spread by word of mouth and online, that like how great this game was.
Right.
And so I feel like they gotta spread them out.
Yeah, I mean, and one thing though, that maybe it will be that Die will surprise us, and we're not going to be upset that 3 remake is not going to be out, and it's going to be a really great game. Like, I'm really crossing my fingers and hoping that this is a really great game. Like, I don't know if it's going to be, but
yeah, I don't know. For those interested, it is releasing on Switch, PS4, PS5, and I think PC, everything but Xbox. So, you know, chances are that it will do fairly well sales-wise. And I know just from interacting with people, like, I feel like the Die audience, there is some overlap, but I feel like the Die audience is just very different from, like, the standard Dragon Quest audience. Like, I get people who who I interact with online who purely just care about Die. Like, they have never played a mainline Dragon Quest game. They love Dragon Ball, or they just love anime or whatever, and they're really into Die, but they've never played a Dragon Quest game. And I feel like I disappoint those people, because every so often I'll tweet about something about Die, and I'll get like some Die followers, and I'm just like, I'm so sorry, people, because I'm not going to talk about this again for like another 4 months.
Yeah. I mean, I can totally understand that. I mean, I didn't realize that there was that much of a division, honestly, because the people I've interacted with have been primarily from the DQ community, not so much the Die and Dragon Ball community, the anime fans that were coming over from that. So I didn't actually realize that there were that many just specific Die fans that didn't play regular the standard mainline Dragon Quest games.
Yeah, I mean, that's
just manga readers too, I guess, because of, you know, it's massive success as a manga back when it was being published originally.
I mean, that's just my perception of it. Like, I'll notice whenever there's announcements about the anime or manga online, and I'll like see people commenting on it or talking about it, and I'm just like, wow, I know none of these people, like from my personal accounts or Dragon Quest FM or whatever. Not that I know every Dragon Quest fan in the world, but it's still kind of like, oh, okay. Like, at any given time, I'll look under Die stuff, and I might recognize one or two people, but they're all strangers, and I get scared because of stranger danger.
It's true. Stranger danger. I mean, as long as none of the Die people offer you candy and tell you to get in their van, I think you're going to be safe. But for the most part, stranger danger.
Yeah. This has nothing to do with anything really, but stranger danger. My wife's sister-in-law was telling us a story a while back about how she was at a gas station, and this guy came up to her and was like, "Hey, I've got some puppies in my van. Do you want to come? Do you want to come pet my puppies?" And Grace and I were both horrified, and we're like, "Yeah, he was trying to kidnap you." And she was like, "No, I went to his van and petted the puppies." And we're like, "Are you crazy?
What?"
Yeah.
What? Who goes to the van?
I know. I'm like,
it's actually a van.
It was really a van, and he really had puppies, and he didn't kidnap her. But I'm just like, there's so much going on with that story. I'm like, I can't, like, what? Grace was like, especially, she was just like horrified. And she was like, you don't go. You like never go.
You never go to a van.
Yeah.
Like, of all things, it's a van. Like, that is what you don't go to. If he was like, hey, I've got some puppies in the back of my pickup truck, you're like, yeah, I'll go pet some puppies in the pickup truck. But no, you're not going to pet puppies in the van. It's a van.
Yeah. Anyway, she did, and she's still here. So,
was it a windowless white van?
I don't know. I didn't ask.
Do you know?
I didn't ask for details. I was too busy, like, cracking up when she was telling the story. Because
I can't. I can't imagine, like, going to the van.
Yeah. I know. I can't imagine she went, and I can't imagine that he really had puppies in his van. It wasn't just a ploy.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah.
I am bumfuzzled by this.
And I disagree with you about the pickup truck. If any stranger comes up to me and asks me to pet anything in any vehicle, it's just a hard pass. it's just for me, it's just going to be a no.
I mean, I totally understand, but I'm just saying, like, in terms of, like, if you're going to pet something in someone else's vehicle, in a stranger's vehicle, probably a bad idea to do it in a van, but at least the pickup truck would be open and you could like see the dogs from like across the parking lot. Be like, yeah, there are dogs like barking in the back of that van.
That's fair, I guess. I would still say no, but
I'd probably still say no. I wouldn't. I'd be like, oh man, they're puppies. I'm gonna hug that dog. Yeah,
actually, no. You would say, well, hot dog. That sure is where I need to be. Diddly dilo. And
you would like dance to strangers. Over. Yeah, hot diddly dilo, diddly dog.
Yeah, that's what you would do.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, but anyway, I don't know. I'm excited for that, but I'm still playing Slime Mori Mori. Speaking of just catching up on things.
Right.
I'm still playing it. So I think I mentioned this in the last episode, but anyway, one of the main things with that is like collecting the, rainbow orbs or whatever you want to call them that, you know, you see in other Dragon Quest games, like 3 and 11, where you go around and collect those orbs. Like that's a main plot point. And I'm getting close to having them all, which means I went into this game fairly blind. So I don't know if this means that I'm getting to the end because I'm going to find them all. Or if it's going to be one of those things where it's just like you unlock the next like chapter of the game or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
So
I don't know.
So I'm kind of interested to see there where that goes. But I got kind of distracted because I'm playing this in Japanese for people who didn't listen
of course.
To the Slime Mori Mori 3 episode. I'm playing this all in Japanese. Don't know Japanese, but that's part of the fun. And I got distracted with Trails to Azure coming out. Really started playing that, and I got really, really into the story, and actually am like at the very, very end. For anybody that's played Trails games, you'll probably relate to this, even if you haven't played Azure, where I'm at the part where it's clearly the final dungeon, but you're going through and like finally confronting all of the like dozen or so big bad guys in the game and just taking them down one by one on your way to like what will be the actual final boss.
Yeah.
And so anyway, I'm going through and doing that. But you know, that takes a while in most of these games. That's not something that you just breeze through. So I've taken down like, I don't want to do spoilers, but I've taken down like, four or five bosses now. I think I'm getting close. There are two bad guys that I know I haven't fought yet, so I assume I have at least two fights ahead of me, and I know that the final fight will probably most likely have multiple phases,
of course. Yeah, I mean,
because this ain't my first JRPG. And anyway, but it's really good. I have really loved the Crossbell games. Like I never played those because they weren't like officially in English. So when Trails from Zero came out last year, I played it and actually loved it more than the Cold Steel games. As much as I like the Cold Steel games, I really liked the Crossbell games just because the cast was a little bit smaller. The areas are smaller. The story is smaller.
Important. Yeah.
Yeah. Like I feel like my problem with Cold Steel is that like at a certain point, I feel like around game three, even though I think the third game is my favorite from those four, the story just really got like too big for its britches, as like my grandma would say.
Yep.
Then I don't know, like four, I enjoyed four, but it was also kind of just a hot mess. So it was very cathartic for me to go back to Trails from Zero. Just felt like a nice, like simpler time. And of course I played it in high speed mode and all that stuff, which I think is always helpful. Playing on Switch, high speed mode is always helpful because some of the animations in a Trails game just go on longer than they should. Right now I'm one of those people that like I don't want to necessarily care about 100%ing it, but like I'll go through and try to do, you know, all the service requests that are given before I continue on with the main story. But if I like miss a hidden quest somewhere, I don't go and cry about it. So you know, I've done a lot. Like I haven't 100%ed the game or anything, but I've done a lot. And I think right now Playing it high speed mode on Switch with Trails to Azure, I think I am sitting around the 26 hour mark, but that's with doing all the requests. Again, I'm sure I've missed some hidden ones. I found one hidden one, but I'm sure I missed some hidden ones. So it's not like it eases it a little bit, you know, it's not playing it like normal, you know, those games can go up 70, 100 hours, which is great, but there's just like so much to choose from now. And I enjoy the combat and I like the characters. And so playing it sped up doesn't like negatively impact the game for me at all.
So when you're playing it sped up, like, so I tried 3 sped up, and one of the problems I have is honestly not being able to control the character very well.
Huh.
Like when I'm running around the world, like it feels like the character is really jerky and I can't like actually get the places I want to be well enough. Like it becomes frustrating. And I don't know if it's just me and the way that I'm, you know, running around, but it feels like I have to like circle 10 times to be able to find my way through a door or to line up with an NPC to talk to. And it gets super frustrating. And then I end up putting it back on normal speed.
Huh.
Like, is that something that you've ever dealt with it? Or is that just a me, or is that just a me problem?
No. The only time I ever had like trouble with the speed up stuff is there's certain times that like, and it's not even in the Trails games, but like in the FF8 Remastered, which I've also been replaying lately. I've been playing that one sped up on PS5, and there's like times.
Oh, I started that too.
Yeah, I actually started it because you had been playing it and said like and talked about how fun it was, and I was like, maybe I'll go back and play. I played it when it was new on Switch, but I decided to boot it up on PS5, and I've been playing that, waiting for the Pixel remasters to come out this week. But anyway, like with that, you know, and the 9 remaster as well, there's like parts where you like have to run across the bridge and there's a big bad guy chasing after you. And if it catches up to you, you'll have to fight it again. But you're like clearly meant to run away. But the whole point of it is to like try to escape from it before the timer runs out.
Yeah.
So every time it like catches up to you, it's a headache. And so like that, I'll have to turn it off of speed up because the monster just goes too fast and catches up to me. Or like when I'm catching frogs with Quinna in FF9, like I have to turn off the speed up because those frogs just start like go so fast. They're like little ninja frogs.
Like that is one problem with speed up for sure. Yeah, like it's great, but you do. I'm glad that it's not an option where you either are fast or you're not. You're sped up or you're not. That it's a toggle.
Yeah.
Like there are parts of these games where speeding up is just like it's a hard pass.
Yeah, and so like that. So, but in Trails games, in terms of Trails games, I did have an issue in the third one when you get the motorcycle in Cold Steel 3, where like I kept running my motorcycle into like areas because the motorcycle goes so fast, and in speed up, it was too quick for me. But I actually found that if I just had it speed up and let Reen sprint in speed up, I would just do that and ignore the motorcycle because I still got places really quick for the most part when you couldn't just like teleport around, you know? And so I did have a trouble with a motorcycle in 3, and then like in Trails to Azure right now, I had to turn it off for Pom Pom Party, the mini game. That's kind of like Candy Crush or any number of those where you have to like line up the correct, you know, colors, and there's a little strategy like Tetris. Because if you do speed up with Pom Pom Party, it's, you know, you're definitely going to lose, I would imagine, because, you know, it goes like so fast. The pieces are dropping down on you so fast that it's just really hard to do.
Yeah.
And so, but no, overall, like I haven't, and I would encourage you or anybody listening that might've had trouble with the Cold Steel games to give the Crossbell ones a try, because, you know, they have those really cutesy, because these were like PSP games. So they look, to me, they look like PS1 games. They look like the chibi characters. And you
see,
know,
and I love the way that the Crossbell games look.
I love
it. All of the screenshots and everything that I've seen, all the videos, I'm like, these are the most beautiful of any of the Trails games. And I just love the way that they've done it. Like, I like it a lot better than the really cool, like, Cold Steel 4. While I love and think those are pretty, like, I much prefer the way that Trails to Azure and Trails from Zero look.
Yeah, well, I do too. And that's kind of what my point was going to be, is that it's like, it makes it, when you're playing, like, speed up and everything, it makes it much easier
right,
to control everything. And, you know, the story, I mean, it's still a Trails game, so the story really gets big. But compared to, like, let's say Cold Steel 4 or whatever, like, it is obviously going to be smaller because of where it takes place in, like, the timeline. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I don't know. It's good. And I think those Crossbell games just work really well as beginner Trails games if you haven't played any before, because the story hasn't gotten too massive at that point, and the cast is a lot smaller. There's, you know, like in the first one especially, there's just really four characters to keep up with, and they stay in your party, you know, and you fight with them and all that. And so it's just like, it's, and then having it sped up, playing it on Switch, it's just, it's very accessible, easy to play. I don't know, highly recommend them. Like, they're some of the most fun I've had, and I'm a little sad that I'm about to beat this one.
Right.
And that Trails to Reverie doesn't come out until July. Like, I might actually, like, hold off on playing FF16, which comes out in June, to play Trails of Reverie instead, because they only come out, like, 2 weeks apart.
Oh, wow.
And at this point, I'm way more interested in Trails to Reverie.
I'm sad to say that I'm not interested in Final Fantasy XVI. I'm very interested in Final Fantasy VI. Final Fantasy XVI, on the other hand, I'm not excited for. And the more videos and interviews and, like, clips I see of it, the less interested I am.
The worse it looks. Yeah, I agree. Yeah,
and it makes me sad. Like, I really wanted to like this game. It's Yoshi P. It, I actually like the way it looks, like the graphic style. Like, I think on a PS5, once I'm playing this and in action, I think it could be really pretty. But then I, like, see the combat, and I'm like, nope, gonna hate it. Gonna hate everything about it. I was like, and I thought I was gonna dislike the Final Fantasy VII Remake, and I ended up really enjoying it. So, I mean, I'm holding out, like, that I could really like this game, but the Devil May Cry combat is really, really not something I look forward to.
Yeah, that's my whole thing too. I'm just like, if I wanted to play a Devil May Cry game, I'd play a Devil May Cry game. And, but I mean, honestly, I haven't enjoyed combat in a Final Fantasy game in quite some time.
Yeah.
So I'm not, like, necessarily surprised by this. I don't know, but I agree. Where it was like, when it first got announced, I was like, oh, awesome, it's an actual high fantasy game again. Like,
that's exactly,
those are my favorite. And there was a lot of, like, cool Ivalice connections, and I was like, oh yeah, this looks really, really cool. But then since then, with all of the, like the Devil May Cry stuff and the trying to make it look like such a, like, gritty Western RPG and all of that kind of stuff, it's just like, it's not what I want. Like, I want colorful, like, anime games where there's, like, cute little Moogles or slimes or, you know, what have you, talking animals. And I want a little person in your party that's not a human.
And I mean, I know that that's also part of, I know you like Ivalice a lot, and Ivalice is really cool. Like, don't get me wrong, I think it's really cool. But one of the things that's always put me off from the very beginning of Final Fantasy XII is the way that, like, Moogles look. I don't like the model where they changed it to be a little more realistic, quote, quote, for it, because, like, I want the cute little Moogles.
You want the pigs, not the rabbits.
I do. And so, like, that kind of thing puts me off. And so the same thing for Final Fantasy 16. I'm like, why can I not just have what I want? Why are you taking this from me, Yoshi?
Yeah. But anyway, so I don't know. I'm sure I'll get around to playing FF16, but I think at this point I'm probably just gonna not worry about that one for now, because I'm really itching for Trails to Reverie. I even looked back and tried to find the old Legends of Heroes games that are on the PSP. Like Legend of Heroes, you know, I can't remember. They got weird
Trails,
titles over
Trails,
here.
Trails in the Sky and Trails in the Sky 2, or Trails in the Sky SC for Second Chapter, and then Trails in the Sky 3.
I'm not even talking about those. Like, those are, like, technically, like, Legend of Heroes 6 or whatever was what the first Trails in the Sky.
Oh, yeah.
I'm talking about even further back than that, like Legends of Heroes 3 and Legends of Heroes 2 and stuff like that.
Are those available for the PSP?
Yeah, they're stupidly expensive now, but a guy can dream. I was like, I'll go back and play all these.
I had no idea that, like,
Not all of them, but yeah, what's technically the second
tier of Vermilion for the PSP? Yeah, I didn't realize that they had released the original ones over here. I didn't realize they were in English.
There's three of them, yeah.
Yeah.
Outside of the Trails of Sky stuff that you can get. Or
yeah.
I said six, but maybe Trails in the Sky was four. I can't remember. When it originally released, it was released with the number the first Trails in the Sky game was. I can't remember if it was six or four. It was one of those Roman numerals anyway.
And it's not released with the number on the PSP version, though.
Over here, yeah.
Because that's one of the things I actually got out the other day, my Vita, and reinstalled a bunch of games on it, and one of them was Trails in the Sky, because I never actually finished it. I got to the end of it, and I'm like just near the end of it, but never actually finished the game. So I wanted to see about finishing it up. It's like I'm in more of a retro gaming mood right now. And so I'm actually back into games. So you and I were talking about it. It's like yeah. I had to get on like hormone treatment, like testosterone shots, because my mood over the last like few years has just gone down. And that's one of the reasons for it. And like I haven't been caring about nearly as much stuff as I used to. And it was like automatically you're like, man, you've been taking these shots and you care about video games again. It's like it's true. And I've been on more of a retro game kick. So the idea of going back to Trails in the Sky and like even Cold Steel. I have on the Vita that playing one, even though I know it would be better to play Cold Steel on a different one because of speed up. But yeah, I was like, I want to play that game again. And so I will probably go back to it. And it's still, I'm still upset about one of the reasons that I have not gone back and finished this, because I love the Trails in this love Trails in the Sky. The third one is only available on PC.
Yeah.
You can't play it on console. It's like any console. It's like you have to be able to play it on Steam. And I don't have a Steam Deck to make it actually, you know, playable and with a gamepad kind of like that where I could remote in, I guess, but still it's on my phone with a backbone. But
I think I'm doing that. I have my... I have an Xbox 360 like wired controller plugged up into this computer right now.
Oh yeah.
And have been thinking about downloading all the Trails Sky games to play.
Yeah.
Like,
I love it
on Steam, but
I truly love the first one. It's one of my favorite RPG games, even though I've never finished it. Like I really, really enjoy it. Like it's great. I'll recommend it to anybody.
I think there's a chance we'll get re-releases of those. And I know the team that did all the localization for the Crossbell games this time,
yeah,
that did those for Falcom, announced that they were working on one for Legend of Heroes 3.
Oh.
I believe it was 3. Yeah, kind of fairly recently. I saw them announce that.
Wow.
And so... I don't know if that the way the tweet read was that it's not in an official capacity, but you know, they're the team that did it officially for yeah. the Crossbell games here. So I'm not sure, but we'll see. It's like a fan kind of fan translation team that does this. And then I guess,
but got hired because they do that.
Yeah. They got like officially hired to do these Crossbell games now. And I thought they did a good job with those. So, I don't know. I'm definitely more in a Trails mood right now.
Right. And anything. I'm in a Fire Emblem mood is what I'm playing a lot of.
Yeah.
I've beaten in the last few weeks, I've beaten the Fire Emblem Fates Conquest, Fire Emblem Engage, and last night I finished up Fire Emblem Awakening.
And oh, nice.
They are fantastic games, and so I'm super into the tactics and strategy RPGs right now. So that's even the combat in like Trails of the Sky. Is it the same way in the Crossbell games, where they're you're moving around the little battlefield that comes up and worried about positioning and all of it still?
Yeah, where like you can only move certain distances, and some of your moves only like go out in like a straight yep. cone, and some of them are like an AOE. Yeah,
the Crossbell games are still like that though.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, I think
because that's one of my favorite things about them. That was actually what made me start Trails in the Sky to begin with, was because I saw that as being like a normal, typical JRPG, like running around storyline, blah, blah, blah. And then all the random battles were on a tactics grid. And so I was like, well, this is everything, and started playing it, and it was super good. So I'm very glad to hear that the Crossbell games are like that too, so I can, you know, that's what I wanted out of it. So I can pick those up and not like have, I hate saying it like this, but not have to learn a new battle system and deal with it, because that's actually one of the things that keeps me from some games. Like, I don't feel like that kind of battle right now. But I'm super into that, so that makes me want to play it even more.
Yeah, no, I gotcha. I knew you'd been having fun with Fire Emblem a lot lately, and I've been playing Trails, so I guess this is a good time as any to just say Dragon Quest FM is no more.
This is Trails of Fire Emblem FM.
Yes.
Or it's Trails.
Trails
in the FM, hashtag FE, like Tokyo Mirage Sessions.
Like, yes, we're just going to throw like every number.
We've always joked around like our podcast title is just going to turn into what one of the Kingdom Hearts title again, or now Final Fantasy titles.
It's the same way now. It's like DQ, FE, X, Trails.
colon, coda, sessions. You know, I saw yesterday, you know, going actually talking about DQ, like I was surprised yesterday. So I booted up the Switch. I didn't know what I wanted to play, and I didn't have the cart for DQ Treasures with me to actually pop it in and play anything. But I did notice, like when I looked at the news, they had a card that said like, can I pet, or can pet ? And a picture of a dog. And I'm like, well, I'm going to click that, and clicked in. And it was games that you could pet the animals, that you could like interact with and pet the dog. And one of them they had on there was Dragon Quest Treasures. So like they were promoting DQ Treasures on the front page of the Switch news. And I was really pleased to see that, because of the way that you get to raise and play with the monsters. And I was like, thank you. Good job, Nintendo. It's like, I don't think that game got as much like release recognition as some of the others. Like you said, everything got buried last year. So seeing that pop up yesterday, I was like, well, all right. Like, that's a good thing to do. And I really do appreciate that for them.
I know it's kind of low-hanging fruit to, like, talk smack about, like, the way Square Enix, like, promotes stuff. It's kind of turned into a cliche now because of how true it is, where I feel like that's one of those things where it's like, it was a... whenever it's a Nintendo game like that, Nintendo does all the promotion for it, really.
Yeah.
And like you can see with like Octopath Traveler 2, I feel like is a good example of this, where it didn't release as a Switch exclusive.
Uh-huh.
And because of that, Square Enix handled most of the promotion instead of Nintendo. And then sales for 2 have been a lot lower so far than they were for the first game.
Even though
the first game was such a like widely adored game. And I think part of that does go back to the glut, because, you know, this one came out
right
in what, February? It's just like you can't go more than 3 weeks without a release right now. Uh-huh. I think that the kind of like crowded market was an example of that. But also, I think there's something to be said about the way that these games are marketed. And yeah, I think that over here in the States, Final Fantasy is such a big heavy hitter that a lot of the marketing went over to Crisis Core Reunion at that time. But I also think just the general audience over here went to Crisis Core, because Final Fantasy is much bigger than Dragon Quest. So it's like, if I'm a company and I only have X amount of dollars in my budget to promote games, am I going to put it all on Dragon Quest Treasures, which is a spinoff from a series that has historically not done so well? Or am I going to put a lot of that money into this remaster of a game that's like the most profitable franchise in the States that has ever, you know, existed for a game in this genre? And so, it's
one of the most requested remakes of anyone in the series because it was only on PSP UMD drive, like not even digital. And so, like, yeah, I totally get it.
Yeah,
like Crisis Core, you could not get without an original PSP. Well, at least a PSP that could play the UMD drives, UMD disc, not a PSP Go.
And so yes, I think that there's some criticism valid about that, but I also think that people have to stop and just think about, like, I feel like sometimes people don't think about like the finer details that go into these kind of decisions. And it's not like the social media person,
right?
who controls the SE social media account is just like, I don't want to talk about Dragon Quest. It's like, you know, there's higher up decisions that go into
that. I mean, that's one thing that I've started, and I know you have too, as we started working more in a corporate publication environment. It's like, I see the social media managers and the people railing on them, like, y'all, they just, somebody handed them a spreadsheet and told them to paste this into a scheduler. I was like, don't yell at them. I was like, they did not even word that tweet. I was like, I'm just like, they don't make these decisions. They're told to load this into TweetDeck and copy it out of a Google sheet. I understand, like you said, I understand that kind of marketing for Crisis Core and DQ Treasures getting the short end of the stick, because it honestly, it kind of deserves it. I mean, I hate to say it that way, but when you look at, like you said, all of the things that were stacking toward Final Fantasy in that one. Yeah. I mean, DQ Treasures was not going to make them that much money. Yeah. Like, if you're going to invest, it's in that one.
I mean, I do work in gaming, and it's like, I know emails from multiple PR teams about Treasures, and I did, like, you know, interviews and previews and stuff, and all that comes from the PR. So it's like,
oh yeah,
yes, the PR teams, you know, did care about this game, but it was like a lot of it, I feel like the stuff that a lot of people saw just on like social media made it seem like people didn't care about Treasures. And it's just, and yeah, it really is kind of one of those things where it's like, okay, well, you know, you got to put your money in one basket. So it makes more sense from a financial standpoint and where we live in the United States to back the other game.
Yeah.
And I still have not played Crisis Core Reunion. I meant to, that's one of those games that I wanted to play. Like, I was very excited for and wanted to play, but I fell so in love with Treasures and got so busy with that game. Played it. I can't remember how long I ended up playing it, but I feel like I played that game well into like February.
Yeah. I mean, I think you played it for a good long time.
Yeah. Like I think I dedicated a solid like 6 to 8 weeks of my life just playing Treasures obsessively. And so, yeah, I mean, I didn't have time for Crisis Core, and then other games like Trails to Azure came out. And so it's just like fun times though, for sure. Lots of fun.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, it's. I'm excited because it's the first time I've had a lot of things I want to play. And I know a lot of what I'm playing right now with the Fire Emblem stuff is because Nintendo shut down the 3DS shop. So I just went in and grabbed stuff, and it caught my attention because I was like, I don't want to miss out on the stuff entirely. And so that's what grabbed me. But yeah, now that I'm thinking about it, it's like I want to go back, and I went to the Vita and downloaded stuff to make sure I didn't miss anything on the store there. You can still buy stuff on the Vita store. Did you know that? That you can't put money on it, but if you have money on your Sony account, like if you load it into the website or on a PS5 or anything like that, that you can use the account credit still on the Vita digital store and buy new stuff, because I bought Tactics Ogre instead of paying $50 for it on the for the remake for Reborn. I paid $10 for the Vita version to see if I like it.
I did not know that, but I've never had a Vita, so there's never been any reason for me to go look at the Vita shop.
Yeah, I mean, I love the Vita. The Vita is one of my favorite systems. I think that it was horribly underrated, primarily because it still plays the PSP games, and there were a crap ton of games on the PSP and the Vita that are well worth playing and that people didn't give it a shot. Plus, it plays PS1 original classics games that you can buy on there digitally. So it's like Xenogears and stuff like that. So I can play Xenogears handheld. Like, it's fantastic.
Yeah, I went and downloaded, not for Vita, but for like on PS3. I went and downloaded, I think, Xenogears. And I know I got Vagrant Story and like some of those other like PS1 games that you can download on PS3. Went and did that a while back. My PS3 has not been hooked up in like 2 years, so it's been more than 2 years ago. But I went and made sure I downloaded a bunch of those games.
Yeah, I did. I did the same thing where I had it and I transferred like save files to the PS3 from the Vita just to make sure. And but yeah, it's like there's a lot of stuff on the Vita that deserves play. And I've actually thought about buying the hard copy, the physical cart of Dragon Quest Builders to play on Vita, even though I know that the performance isn't as good as some of the others because it has trophies on it to be handheld. And the Switch one doesn't have trophies.
Yeah.
I know the performance is less on the Vita. I've read that much, but still I'm thinking about them trophies.
Yeah, I mean I like getting trophies, but I think for me it's always a lot of the biggest factor I think for me is always like the length of a game.
Right.
Like the Trails games. I want to play those on a handheld device. They are long. They have long cutscenes, and it's really nice to just be able to sleep them sometimes when, you know, something goes on with the kids or I need to go do something or, you know, I run out of time and have to move on to something else. Handheld is just I prefer handheld, but
yeah.
Then there's some games like, I don't know, like Tony Hawk Pro Skater 1 and 2 that, you know, I play on PS5 where it's just like, okay, these are like 2 minute sessions as I'm skating
exactly
around, trying to collect stuff. They have easy stopping points and I can get trophies for it. So I just go and do it. So there's like, I feel like there's a lot of factors that go into it for me, but it's very rarely is it graphics. Like very rarely am I just like, oh, this looks uglier on Switch, so I'm going PS5. Like I don't think I've ever done that, honestly. I think that there are always other factors because I'm just kind of like, well, yeah, of course, it's not going to look as good on Switch as it does on the PS5. So it's never been like an issue.
And, you know, I was talking about just the PS5 and playing it on there. Last August when I was down visiting, you, me, and Naomi played a just crap ton of Sackboy. Right, yeah. Like just tons of it. And they finally put it on PS Plus. And so I downloaded it for Jennifer and she started playing it and she was like, this is pretty good. And then the next day she was like, I want to play Sackboy again. And it was really funny because I was like, well, I'm glad that you really like it. And she's like, I hate it. And but it was really, really neat to see that it's finally on there. And all the stuff that I had logged in on to play with you still had the little blue orbs and stuff. Even though I hadn't unlocked those levels, it still counted the stuff that I earned with on those levels.
That's cool. So, I didn't know it did that.
Yeah, so as Jennifer was going through, she looked at, because she played on mine by accident. She didn't mean to, but she started playing on my account instead of hers, and she was just like, oh, well, I've already gotten through some of these levels. And as we've gone further in, it was like all the some of the later levels that you and I just repeatedly played to get all five of the orbs and the two player levels. A lot of them were already filled out, even though they weren't unlocked. I thought it was pretty great that they had it like that, which is also for y'all who are listening. You need to play Sackboy because it's great. Just absolutely wonderful.
I love Sackboy. Yeah, we had so much fun with it. I don't know that we've played it too much since then, but whenever it came out, when I heard that it was coming out on PSN, I think I was like the only person at work who had played it, and people were talking about, you know, that they wanted to check it out. And I was like, no, this is like probably the best platformer I've played. Like Astro's Playroom was good, but it's short because...
This reminds me of Astro's Playroom. Yeah, it reminds me of Astro's Playroom, except expanded into a full game.
Yeah, and I was like, this is just, it's a fantastic platformer. I was like, I think Mario Odyssey on Switch is probably still my favorite platformer from like the last, like, I don't know, 5-10 years. But Sackboy is really a really close second. Like, I've had so much fun with Sackboy. I definitely agree on that. Like, it's a fantastic game.
And it does say on there that it's only until like May 3rd or something like that. So y'all need to get on it while it's there if you're a PS Plus member. Also, you can buy it because it's really good, and I just hadn't done it yet. It was one that I see it, and I'm like, yeah, I got to get that for us. And then when I saw it was free, I'm like, well, I'm going to do that. So when it goes away, I'm going to end up buying it. So,
yeah. That's
but cool. Yes, it is very good, and I want y'all to play it.
All right. Well, I think that about does it for this week's episode. Thank you guys for listening and catching up with us this week. Remember, you can talk to us on Twitter at DragonQuestFM. If you want to talk to us on Patreon or support this podcast, you can do that by visiting patreon.com/DragonQuestFM. And if you want to talk to me directly, I'm on Twitter at DragonQuestin.
And I'm on Twitter at Professor Beege. Like you said, you can find us on Patreon at patreon.com/DragonQuestFM. You can also talk to us on Discord at discord.geektogeekmedia.com.
Thanks, everybody, and we'll see you next week.
Bye.